Our scripture reading this morning is coming from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I will be reading from the American Standard Version. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
It is truly a blessing to be here on this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. We do want to thank you for coming out and worshiping God, but also encouraging us as brethren. We know sometimes weather can be a little bit on the inclement side, but it is also a great thing to see when people are striving to do that which is right and to bear the burden of the weather at times and continue to do the will of Almighty God. When we consider the very last Sunday of the year, I remember on last year, I was preaching here, and can you believe it's already been another year? I'm grateful to be here amongst y'all and striving to do that which is right amongst the people who are on their way to heaven. With that being said, I want us to consider some things to work on for 2018. When we consider, especially the things that all of us could work on, I was reading the book of Mark and listening to it and found it very intriguing that Jesus is caught by Mark, and as he is written or writing about Jesus, he catches Jesus' ministry, some 3.5 years of it, and the word straightway is used some 42 times in the book of Mark all by itself in 16 chapters. Jesus is on the go. He's always on the move. As a matter of fact, when you're reading the book of Mark and listening to it, the only time you really find Jesus kind of stopping and taking his time is either in prayer or rest. Other than that, Jesus is on the go. He's on the move. He's on the run. I got places to go. You'll hear statements being said, for this purpose I came to preach, or I must go into the next town that I may preach the gospel unto them. But Jesus is always on the go. And I was thinking about 2018 and for us and how we ought to be on the go for the will of Almighty God. And some things that I believe that all of us can work on is, number one, Mark chapter 11, verses 20 through 26. Turn your Bibles there. We're going to be looking at some things in the book of Mark that I know is going to help all of us. And it's interesting, as I was looking at some of the texts, I was looking at some of the little subliminal points that Jesus was making. And in Mark chapter 11, verses 20 through 26, he brings up a fig tree. Now, keep in mind, friends, according to Matthew chapter 21, verses 18 through 22, Jesus was hungry and he curses this fig tree. And when he cursed this fig tree, he told them, no longer will anyone eat from this tree. Why? It wasn't bearing fruit. It wasn't doing what it's supposed to have been doing. And Peter marveled at this, friends, in verse number 20 of Mark chapter 11. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Jesus answered to them and said, have faith in God. I remember the first time I read this passage. Jesus, why would you tell them that? Why would you tell them, have faith in God? Well, keep in mind, they was hungry. He wanted to eat. The tree was producing nothing. Jesus took care of that. It's a real good story, a real good point here. Don't have time to make that particular point, but I want to make another one here in a few minutes. For assuredly, verse number 23, I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that he said will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now think about that, friends. Think about what Jesus is telling his disciples, okay? Verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. So Jesus is making a point here about prayer, okay, about asking. He uses this fig tree, Brother Braswell, and his point now is asking whatsoever you will and you'll have it. Now look at verse number 25. Some things we need to work on is forgiveness from the fig tree. Look at verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, notice what he says. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him. You can tie into your notes or write into your notes Luke chapter 17. It's a good chapter to read there as well. That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Some things I know we can work on for 2018 is to have the attitude that God has. You think about God, God forgives when people ask him for forgiveness. But also, friends, when we think about the attitude of being willing to forgive. Here, we understand when Jesus says in verse number 25, whenever you stand praying, that's the key. That's the key. When you stand praying, you're coming before God. You're asking God for whatever. Or you're giving thanks to God. Admiration toward God. If you have anything against anyone. Now notice, there's some things that are required in prayer. Number one, thinking. Number two, it requires some self-evaluation. It requires some action. You know, sometimes when I go to God in prayer, I don't know about you, sometimes I'm just not thinking about everything. Here, the Bible is teaching us when we stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, that requires me thinking. That requires me looking in my own life. Why? Because I'm approaching a holy God. What should we work on for 2018? Forgiveness. That when we go to God in prayer, our conscience is cleansed or clear based upon what God has taught in his word. Friends, prayer is so powerful. We're to pray without ceasing. The Bible teaches us that in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. That's one thing that we ought to be working on for 2018 is forgiveness. I guarantee you, when you learn to forgive, you'll free your own self. What a blessing to be a forgiving person. Number two, turn to Mark 12. Look at verses 18 through 27. Not only should we be working on forgiveness, but we ought to be working on trusting in the powerful and living God. There was a problem here. The Sadducees come up to Jesus with this scenario, if you will. There was this woman that had a husband. He dies. And the next thing you know, there's seven or six other brothers that had this wife. This is what they're bringing up as a scenario. If the seven brothers had her, whose husband would she be in the resurrection, seeing that there was no seed to pass on? Jesus says something that's very powerful in verse number 24. Notice what your Bible here has to say. He says, are you therefore mistaken, New King James Version? I like the King James Version. It says, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. I want to make a quick point here. One thing that we have to work on, all of us, every last one of them, from the pew to the, from the pulpit to the back pew, is our trust in the scriptures and in the ability of God. Now, these individuals, these Sadducees, unfortunately, didn't know the scriptures. In order for us to trust in the ability of God, friends, we have to become familiar with the scriptures. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 4, whereby when you read. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 13, give yourself over to reading. It's something about reading. And every last one of us read, we're reading something all of the time. Either online, in a book, on our phones, we're reading something all the time. Here, we want to read the very mind of God. He says, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power, the ability of God. Notice what Jesus says here in verse number 25. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. You know, there'll be no marriage in heaven, for instance. Let's make this little quick point. You know, if Evelyn was to pass away or if I was to pass away, I would not have a spouse. She would not have a spouse. Why? There's no marriage after death. But I can remarry. Romans chapter 7. We know for a fact that when we both go to God on that day of judgment, after we hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, there's no marriage in heaven. Some people even have the false notion that, well, that's going to be my wife, even when we get to heaven. No, there's no marriage in heaven. That's the point that Jesus is making here. But friends, how would they know that? Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the ability of God, the power of God. Notice verse number 26. But concerning the dead, they that rise have not read in the book of Moses. Jesus, what are you stressing to these individuals? What are you stressing to these Sadducees? You need to read. We got to read. We got to read the word of God. Read the mind of God. In the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. I want us to make a quick point here. Let's trust God. Let's trust the scriptures. Let's trust God's word. In my mind, God's word has the final say. It has the final authority. I love everybody in here. I love everybody on the face of the earth, truth be told. But Jesus Christ has the final say. I think that's hard for us to get in our minds, especially in America sometimes. That the Word of God truly has the final say in my life. Friends, I want to encourage every last one of us, as we are reading the Word of God, we tell ourselves, Father, you have the final say in my life, not me, myself. Proverbs 3 and verse number 5, trust in the Lord. You know what that also means? Trust in his word. Trust in the scriptures. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Friends, when my mindset and my thoughts go against what God says, I say, I trust God here. But it's killing me. It's hurting me. It's hurting my conscience. It's bothering me. Well, that's fine. Keep trusting in God. Keep trusting in his word. He has the final authority. And friends, when we do that, God himself will be glorified. A couple of things that God has the final authority in. Number one, he has the final authority in his church. Yes, he does. One thing about Jesus, God gave him to be the head over all things to the church, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, which is his body. He has given this church a great name, Church of Christ, Romans 16 and verse number 16. We must believe God concerning his holiness, which the Bible teaches us in Hebrews 12 and verse 10, no one will see the Lord. I truly believe, and we're going to have more lessons on this year, that the holiness of God must be trumpeted very loudly. We must trumpet the holiness of God wherever we go. What do we mean by the holiness of God? That God is set apart from sin, which means that his people are set apart from sin. What are we trying to do? We're trying to run to the holiness of God. If it doesn't look holy, we run from it. Amen. We run from it. If it has a glimpse of unholiness, we want to think about it and say, no, I better leave that alone. Why? I trust in God's scripture. I trust in his ability to deliver me through his word from all evil. So let's believe God concerning eternal salvation. Turn to Galatians 3. Let me make a quick point right here. Let's make this quick point. I was thinking about this a few months back, and I was listening to the radio show the other day, some archives, Brother Rick. And one of the points that was made that I just thought was just astronomical, just blew the top off, if you will. I was like, you know what? How did I forget that point? Galatians chapter 3, 26 through 29. What a wonderful point right here, friends. And when we're talking to our friends who may not be Christians, who may not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but they want to know. Well, the one question that we ought to ask them is this. Do you want to be a seed of Abraham? Is being a seed of Abraham important to you? But when you think about those who may believe the Mosaic system, but don't believe in Jesus Christ. Well, I believe that he was a good man. He was a prophet. I just don't believe that he was the Son of God. Well, do you believe in Abraham? Well, yeah, I believe in Abraham. Okay, well, Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse number 26, I believe this is a great point, a doctrinal point the Bible here is making. For you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Friends, let's believe the scriptures and the power of God right here. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now notice how one puts on Christ by being baptized into Christ. Verse number 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For we are all one in Christ Jesus. Here's the powerful point right here. And if you are Christ, well, how did one become Christ or in Christ? By being baptized into Christ and putting on Christ, verse number 26, 27. But then notice, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? Remember the promise of Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and following. In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Do you know that God had us in mind when we obeyed that gospel to be identified with Abraham, who is called a friend of God? I don't know about you, Brother Brian, but that just excites me. That's an exciting point right there. Who doesn't want to be identified with Abraham? There's not a religious person on the face of the earth who knows what Abraham did in the sacrificing of his son. And the Bible teaches us in the book of James that when he raised his hand, raised up the knife to sacrifice his son, the scriptures was fulfilled. He was a friend of God. He did what God wanted him to do. And friends, we ought to do what God says as it relates to trusting in his word, trusting in his ability. Does God have the ability to help me and my family, to help me and my spouse, to help me and my children? Psalm 127, the Bible says he does. Does he have the ability to help my marriage? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, there the Bible teaches us that he does. I don't care what your marriage is going through right now. I don't care what's going on. God has the ability with the scriptures to help us through whatever we're going through. Why? Because we trust in the scriptures and the power of God. We trust it. You find a man that won't trust God, Solomon says, to have faith in an unfaithful man is like having a broken tooth and foot out of joint. Well, now, if you ever want to have fun, read the book of Proverbs. If you ever just want to have fun reading. Mark, you want to have fun reading? Read the book of Proverbs. I tell you, you'll be laughing. You'll get mad in chapter 5. Because he's dealing with that whorish woman. Yeah, that's what the Bible calls her. And then you'll just get real, real happy when you get to Proverbs 31. Like, wow, this book is all over the place. Brother Ventura, read the book of Proverbs and you'll see your emotions will go up and down. Be like, Solomon, act like he knew what he was talking about. He did. He'd been there. Number 3, chapter 14 of Mark. Look at verses 3 through 9. Things we should work on is our forgiveness, our trust in the powerful and living God. But I think this is probably my favorite. We need to work on our devotion to the Lord. Let's read these passages and we'll make some comments. I tell you, as I was reading book Mark and listening to it, it just kind of opened itself up. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard, And it's interesting. She had this alabaster flask of very costly oil. Then she broke the flask and poured on his head. She took that which is valuable and poured it on the head of him who was more valuable. Don't miss that point. She took that which was in her hand and she put it on his head. She sacrificed that which was valuable to her, but she put it upon him because she saw him as more valuable than the oil that was in his, in her hand. Don't miss that point. The reason why I say you don't miss that point is because sometimes what's in our hand, we look at it as more valuable than the one who gave it to us. Now notice what he goes on to say. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? Now notice, that which was valuable to her, she took it and poured it on the head of him who was more valuable than the oil that was in her hand. And those who looked at it had the wrong attitude and said she wasted it. For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. They criticized her sharply. Praise God for Jesus. Notice what Jesus says, Brother Lane. Let her alone. Brother Hall, there are some people that we ought to tell other people, leave them alone. Leave them alone. We need to work on this right here. There are some people that get in the way of the Christianity of other people. Leave them alone. Notice what he says. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me, Ephesians 2 and verse number 10, Titus chapter 1, 2 and 3. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. Now, as I was practicing this, Brother Dennis, at home a few times, that point just kept coming out. She done what she could. You know what that means? Do what you can. Here's the problem sometimes. We're not doing anything. But the Bible teaches us that Jesus told that woman she had done what she could. God requires us to do what we can. It's not your responsibility to do something that someone else is doing in Christ Jesus. Do what you can. Just do what you can. She took what was valuable to her. She poured it on the head of him who was valuable. And Jesus said she did good and she done what she could. That's a powerful verse. And that ought to encourage us as Christians. You know what? I can't do as much as someone else is doing, but I can do this. Fine. Good. Do what you can. Just do what you can. Do what you can. And in 2018, you know what we need here at 9th and Main? We just need everybody to do what they can. To do what you can. And that's enough. It's not my job, nor the elders' job, to tell you that you need to do more. If that's all you can do, do what you can. Y'all smile. That's a great point. You know what that does? That relieves us. That relieves us under the thumb of anybody. Because we can just do what we can. The problem is when we're not doing what we can. We can do what we can. Jesus encouraged her, do what you can. Notice, she has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Surely I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. You know, I was thinking about as I was going over this in my mind, Revelation 14:13, where Jesus told John the Revelator, write, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Yea, henceforth saith the Spirit, they do rest from their labors and their works do follow them. It's amazing that when a child of God dies and they die faithful, and you know, I think about Lydia, who was a faithful woman. They wanted to bring her back. There's some people that die you don't want coming back. They wanted her to come back. That's a good preacher right there. That's a good preacher right there. They wanted her to come back. You think about this. Their works do follow them. People ought to remember you for the good that you have done when you leave this earth. Friends, let's get busy. But God is the one, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, that identifies the good works. Jesus is the one that gives us an exhaustive outline in Matthew chapter 25 of good works. Visiting the sick. Visiting those in prison. Giving to those who are poor. Giving a drink of cold water in his name. So forth and so on. Jesus gives an exhaustive outline of what good works ought to look like. Visiting the orphans and widows in their affliction. Friends, God has given us the good works. I think about Ecclesiastes 9 and verse number 10. Whatever you find your hand to do, do it with all of your might. Friends, we need to talk to our children, talk to our spouses, talk to our families about doing good for God. We need to do that. Those are some things we need to work on. Telling people about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4. Look at verses 11 through 16. It's one of my favorite passages as it relates to a context. Because in this context, we find Jesus giving gifts unto the church. You know, the very fact that apostles and prophets, verse number 11, the gifts to the church. An evangelist, which I am privileged to occupy. Brother Brian, Brother Randy, Brother James, men who have went to preaching school, who are established themselves as preachers. Brother Popejoy. Then you have pastors, which are elders, presbyter, bishops. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 5. And a pastor is not the preacher. Let me go ahead and just throw that out there real quick. A pastor is one who is an elder in the church, which is a plurality of elders who have a responsibility of guarding the flock and making sure that the flock is fed, Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. But notice another thing that Jesus placed in the church. Teachers. I think about all of the teachers that sacrifice their time here, teaching our little ones, teaching the college classes, teaching here in the auditorium. Y'all are just as important as the preachers and elders. Why? Because we are cultivating and fostering spiritual growth. It is my responsibility as gospel teacher to go out into the world, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, and drum up business for the Lord. Get people interested and involved in spiritual thinking. And when they come to a knowledge of the truth, they're baptized into Christ. Now you have the elders who are there who are going to protect them and guard them. Now you have teachers who are there that are going to cultivate them and grow them up. And everybody is doing their job. Do what you can. Everybody do what you can. You know, I want to encourage more men to be deacons and elders and teachers, which requires us cultivating our hearts in the Word of God. Brother Ventura, you could be a man of God who is an elder one day. Keep cultivating yourself. Why are we saying these things? Because men need to understand that God wants them to be at the height of their spirituality. And in 2018, we ought to do that. We ought to do that. I don't know about y'all, but I believe this. And one thing that Jesus was getting on those Sadducees about, you do err not knowing the scriptures, nor the ability of God. We believe in the power and the ability of Almighty God. Last point, turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, We talked about things we ought to be working on: forgiveness, trusting in the power and the ability of Almighty God, our devotion to the Lord, but also our abounding in the Lord. It is not enough just to do the bare minimum for the Lord. Never. It is never enough. God will not even put up with it. God always wants us to put our best foot forward and then go the extra mile. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through verse number 39. But here in 1 Corinthians 15, notice what your Bible there says. Therefore, Paul, as he's talking to the church at Corinth, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Hang in there. Keep going forward. Immovable. Don't move an inch when it comes to spirituality, when it comes to your devotion, when it comes to being faithful. Always abounding, going over and beyond, Brother Braswell. We just keep going and going and going. Why? Because I want to do that which the Lord wants me to do. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor, your work, is not in vain in the Lord. Let me give you about 5 or 50 passages real quick. Y'all should have laughed at that one. Let me give you some passages that teach abounding. God has never, ever wanted his people to be a stagnant people, but to be an abounding people. In Colossians 2, and look at verse number 7. Colossians 2 and verse number 7. You read all of Colossians 2, you'll see the deity of Christ. You'll understand that he is the one that had God in him, if you will. But in verse number 7, notice what your Bible says. Being rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have taught, abounding in it. What's the it? The faith. With what? Thanksgiving. Oh, friends, we ought to be abounding in our confidence and trust in Jehovah. We ought to be abounding in the faith of Almighty God. Friends, I want to encourage us to be more faithful today, tomorrow, than we were last year. Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 4, and verse number 8 and 9. Notice this. Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9. Notice what we ought to be abounding in. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate. The King James Version says, think on these things. These things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do. And the God of peace will be with you. Friends, what should we be abounding in? We ought to be abounding in all of these things right here. Oh, friends, this takes time. It takes cultivation. It takes meditation. And friends, when we abound in them, God will bless our lives. I don't have time, but look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 7. We ought to also be abounding in hope, Romans chapter 15 and verse number 3, but 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 7, for time's sake, notice what the Bible here has to say. This whole context is dealing with giving, dealing with offering. And friends, our offering that we give, that you gave to God today, is a manifestation, that's the word I'm looking for, of your love toward him. Notice what he says in verse number 7. But as you abound in everything, hold on. As a Christian, I need to abound in everything. And then he gives me a list. He gives us a list of what that everything is. In faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us. It's amazing. You can put in your notes 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 12 right there. We ought to abound in our love for one another. But then notice what he says. see that you abound in this grace also. I remember when I first heard this point. It's a very powerful point that God wants his people to abound in their giving. Yes. He wants us to abound in our faith, in our speech, in our knowledge, in our love for one another, but also in our giving to him. Why? Because when we abound in our giving, we're also abounding in our love, in our trust, in our confidence that God is the one that's going to take care of me. It's not about me taking care of myself. It's about God taking care of me. God will always take care of his people. I end with this. 2 Peter chapter 1. And when I think of 2 Peter chapter 1 now, it takes my mind back to the fig tree. 2 Peter 1 verses 5 through verse number 11. Not going to read all of that. Just a few of those passages. Maybe to about verse number 9 maybe. But now, after looking at the fig tree closely and the teachings of the fig tree, 2 Peter chapter 1 reminds me of the fig tree. Why? Let's see. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, self-control. Self-control, perseverance. Perseverance, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and what? There it is. Abound. If they're yours and they abound, notice what's going to take place. You will neither be barren, remember the fig tree, nor unfruitful, remember the fig tree. That's going to be my next sermon when I go out of town. Remember the fig tree. Remember the fig tree. And then I'm going to be preaching from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and following. Remember the fig tree. Jesus cursed that fig tree, dried it up, and said, no one will eat from this fig tree, nor will you produce fruit anymore. Friends, what happens when these things are not in us? We dry up. We become unfruitful. But what happens when these are in us? Brother Dennis, we will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful text. What a beautiful exhortation that God has given us. Some things that we ought to work on for next year is that we want to be a people who are adding to our faith. We want to be a people who are abounding in Christ. We want to be a people who have a devotion to the Lord that's deep, that's lasting, that's nourishing. We want to be a people that trust in the scriptures and the ability of God, and we want to be a people of forgiveness. And friends, I truly believe that that is some of the foundational teachings of the scriptures. For when we do those things, God will bless us. Question, are you abounding? Are you stronger today spiritually? And when I say spiritually, in the knowledge and application of the Word of God, that's where strength comes in. Oh, I can go to the YMCA and I can lift weights and we can run and we can get in the hot tub, bro. We can do all those things. That don't make us strong spiritually. But when we dive into the hot tub of the Word, oh, friends, that makes us strong because we apply it to our lives. And when we apply it to our lives, it shows. Let us be a people in 2018 that's abounding. Let's not settle for where we are today, because God wants us to abound. Think about this as I leave you. Think about what Jesus said in John chapter 4 as it relates to that living water that springs us up into everlasting life. He's not talking about everlasting life springing you up into everlasting life. He's talking about the Word springing you up into everlasting life. The Word of God. That's what's going to take us home. Are you ready to go home today? I'm ready to go. Hopefully we're all ready to go home today if we have to. If you're not a child of God, I almost said if we stand, I haven't even gave the invitation. Boy, hopefully somebody would have rebuked me. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to be a child of God bad. Why? Because being a child of God comes with great benefits. Who wants a job without benefits? All spiritual blessings are in Christ. There's your benefits. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. You'll have eternal life, all because of the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Are you willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, and be buried in water for the remission of your sins, that you may be a seed of Abraham, an heir according to the promise? God can do that for you today. He will do that for you today. It's an appeal to God, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. But maybe a child of God and you need special prayer. You know, we need to develop that. We're family. If I can go to anybody, I ought to be able to go to my church family and say, I need your prayers. That's what's sad, and that's what's seen to save his invitation.